good channels on Verizon Fire, so between 500 and 600, so Tristan just presses 555. That's a jumping off point.
It's so true. And I know that ESPN is like 8 clicks up from that.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, it's important. So anyway.
Compliance Corner.
Compliance Corner.
I wish we had a song to go along with this.
I know.
We should have an intro.
Howdy, 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 everybody.
We gotta work on something. Yeah.
So I can be a recurring guest.
I'm gonna have Drew make a video for us.
Maybe we can just pick a song that'll be like my theme. It's like, maybe the safety dance, because like compliance.
Yeah. Is there a song called Compliance?
I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
I could see you being a rapper.
We'll work on that. Maybe we can make a parody song.
Yes.
3-6 Mafia, like, comply.
We just got it.
There it is.
Oh, my God.
That's done. Well, we got that taken care of.
He's here for compliance, folks, but also for comedic
humor. Yeah, I'll also bring the comic
relief. A little levity.
Sure. We like to have fun.
Much needed.
So, Mike, give us your title and a little bit of description of what you do here at Bryant.
Hi there, everybody. So, my name is Mike McDonald. I'm the Assistant Athletic Director for Compliance. My secondary title is landlord to Tristan Hobbs, the big cat. So what I do here, in a quick nutshell, I make sure that everybody on this campus and everybody that we are involved with doesn't break NCAA rules, and to make sure that all of our student-athletes stay eligible and that all of our coaches do things the right way. And that is kind of the thumbnail sketch, and then we can get into it a little more. Because I know everybody's just dying to know. But that is the thumbnail sketch, is I make sure that everybody does things the right way. I'm kind of the policeman of the athletic department, along with Beth Wandice and Taylor Leonard. So that's me. That's my deal.
And you also make outstanding videos.
Yes, yeah, so part of that is educating people, because I have a 400-page NCAA manual that I have to try to make coaches and student-athletes understand and be interested in. So, as you can tell, if you haven't learned already from the beginning of our segment, I like to bring a little humor to the table. So, we make educational videos every semester to try to get the word out, to make it understandable from the legal jargon of our manual and an online database where there are tens of thousands of interpretations of the hundreds of rules. So I try to make it into layman's terms so that our student athletes get the boiled down message that they need to get, or our coaches.
Thrilling.
I know. Is everybody still awake out there?
So what are the, you have a couple things listed here. What are some of the more common things that you see or deal with student athletes in particular?
Sure. So I was thinking about this at 10 minutes of 11 when I decided to inaugurate the Compliance Corner this week. My process with student-athletes is I'm working on student-athletes before they're even student-athletes. We're working with juniors and seniors in high school to make sure that, you know, that our coaches have identified that they want to recruit. I'm looking already at their high school classes to make sure that they're going to be NCAA eligible once they arrive on campus at Bryant, and that obviously they get into Bryant, and that's the admissions side, but we look at it from the NCAA side because there's requirements that every high school student has to do to be an NCAA Division I athlete, and those change often, so we're working with the coaches to make sure that they know what the rules are. And what to look for, and then we're screening those kids to make sure that they will be eligible for us and that they can play when they're freshmen in practice. And then once they're here, it's our responsibility to make sure that they stay eligible, that they're taking classes that they need to take to get their degree, which is why they're here. So there's requirements that everybody has to be enrolled full-time in order to practice and compete, so we're making sure that that happens. So that everybody can stay on the court or the field or whatever the case may be.
This might be the most important interview we've done all year.
It's hard to imagine that.
Not to hype it.
No, it's crazy because you see all these stories. Notre Dame just got in trouble big time. Football for one of their athletic trainers, or one of their not athletic trainer, but a trainer doing work for a student athlete, and of course, the North Carolina thing ongoing, and all these other schools. That's obviously at a big scale, but, I mean, that can happen anywhere, and there's things that happen all the time at lower-level schools that you don't see every day in the paper, but still happen, and That's what Mike's trying to prevent.
Sure, that's absolutely my nightmare, and what keeps me up at night sometimes and keeps me here late and gets me here early is making sure that Bryant University isn't in the news for something negative like that. And it's very easy to happen, you know, if that's why we're as busy as we are, is to make sure that we don't have that, and we're doing everything we can to prevent that. And I always liken it to whenever I get a new car. Like, I have an Impala now. When I first got it, I saw Impalas everywhere. And when I started in compliance, all of a sudden I started seeing compliance in the news everywhere. And it certainly has picked up in a lot of state schools. Newspapers do open records requests because they're public to get all their violations. So all these public schools have their violations aired out. And you see really silly ones, and we have those silly ones too. But they don't end up in, like, the Birmingham News and Ledger or whatever, where, like, Alabama gave a kid a paperclip. That ends up in the newspaper. Thankfully, it doesn't for us. But there's little silly violations, but there's also those absolutely huge ones. And, you know, Notre Dame lost 21 wins last week, and that's an absolute nightmare scenario that we're trying to make sure that doesn't happen to Bryant University.
Hard to imagine that can happen.
21 wins.
21 wins.
A lot.
Not good for Brian Kelly. Not good for anybody.
definitely not. What are some of the most preposterous violations you have seen in your history?
We've had some crazy ones. My favorite, I did write down the greatest, exercise in minutia was a few years ago. The NCAA passed a rule to make sure that kids were getting the right nutrition. So they said, we'll allow the athletic department to provide fruit, nuts, and bagels to student-athletes at any time. So you could just have a platter out in the administrative office that student-athletes could drop in and grab, like, an apple and an orange and some almonds. But as the rule was in going through its process to be passed, you know, they send it out and all the schools get it, and we talk about it as a conference in the NEC, and every conference talks about it, and I actually was a GA in the Big East at the time when this rule was out there, so there were some big compliance staffs, and we kind of started talking, well, okay, fruit, nuts, and bagels, what about cream cheese? And it was quickly realized the NCAA had to issue this educational column about this rule proposal and say, no, sorry, this rule did not
no cream cheese
not rule. Did not factor in, like, butter, peanut butter, cream cheese, oh, jelly. So for one
just
year
dry bagels.
Yeah, for one year the rule was you could not provide spreads, and then they corrected the rule and through the next cycle and said, okay, now it is okay to provide fruit nuts, bagels, cream cheese, jelly, peanut butter, oh, butter, God. As you, or whatever. I mean, I guess maybe lox. Like, you can put some salmon on that. Yeah. So, you know, you can get a little creative with the spreads, but I think it had to be a spreadable item. So maybe the salmon was out. So, you know, there's things
that's
like
a
that.
Weird thing to me to put on a bagel.
Yeah. So that is, you know, those are, that's some of the outside edge of things that are really crazy. There's some things that are very good. Like, we're worried about academic integrity and
well, that. Of course, that UConn guy ruined it for everybody. Planet he wasn't eating very much.
Right, yeah. Who was that? Kemba? Was that Kemba Walker?
I think it was Kemba.
He wasn't very good.
No, it
was Shabazz.
It wasn't Kemba.
Shabazz,
yeah, it was Shabazz Napier. Yeah,
I think
Shabazz.
He had a bad career, right?
Yeah, he was.
Shabazz Napier?
Yeah.
Terrible career.
So, you know, some of the violations that we've had, you know, not to get into too much detail, you know, but it's literally, you know, unfortunately the way that the world works is if we have a coach who pocket dials a recruit, that they're not allowed to call. Maybe, you know, you're allowed to receive an incoming call from anybody. So maybe a junior in high school calls you, and you talk to them, and then you hang up the phone, you put that phone in your pocket, and you butt dial them back. That's a violation. Technically, that's a violation. So we've written people up for accidentally pocket dialing a recruit. Or, you know, a coach looks and says, I have a missed call. It's from this area code that I recognize. You know, I'm from Maine. If it's a 207 number, I'm going to call back. And it just happens to be a sophomore recruit who you can receive an incoming call from, but you can't call them out. So it's like they call and, you know, the recruit picks up and they say, oh, you know, I'm Tristan Hobbs from Utica, New York. I'm a sophomore. And the coach says,
click.
Says, you know, Tristan, you're great and everything, but I'm going to have to, you know, end this phone call. And then their next call is to Mike McDonald, compliance enforcer, to say, hey, hey, Mike, you know, I just want to let you know. Or we find it in a phone record. We see that they called the sophomore, and we say, Coach, you called the sophomore. And they say, oh, yeah, like, I had a missed call. It's my area code. You know, so I gotta turn myself in for that one, or I gotta fess up that. So that's the kind of minutia that we deal with that can be very frustrating, you know, worrying about cream cheese and butt dials. But, you know, there's obviously, that's the lower end of things and kind of the area where we can laugh at ourselves and see the ridiculousness and some of what we have to do. But all those rules are there for the right spirit. Sometimes they just, there's no perfect mold to make a rule. So sometimes things fall through the cracks and we have to write up our coaches and say, hey, when that kid turns to be a junior and you can call him, you have to wait one extra week before you can call him. That's the punishment is sometimes, you know, that you have to, you know, hold yourself back when you are allowed to recruit them because you accidentally pocket dialed them a year before, something like that. So those are some of the crazier ones. Obviously, we have serious ones, and we deal with those with the appropriate tenor and manner.
Sometimes we do bad things as SIDs.
Sure. I mean, and that's the, so that's the challenge of compliance is,
sorry,
I'm really sorry. Oops, sorry. I'm dealing with a whole campus because we have, you know, we deal with admissions and financial aid and the president's office and development and all these people that, you
folks,
know,
you think it's boring until all of a sudden you're Notre Dame and you're like,
right. Right.
21 wins.
Yeah, exactly.
3 seasons out the door.
Right. Does Notre Dame want those 21 wins back? You bet your butt. But you know, that's what we're trying to avoid. So it's a campus-wide effort, and all our alums and all our boosters that we're trying to educate, not just our current student athletes and our coaches.
I'm amazed right now.
It's really.
We could talk about this all day. I was worried I was going to have no material. And once we get in here, I could.
Well, as
my
said,
life.
You don't think it's a huge thing, and then all of a sudden you have a Notre Dame or a whatever you have it, or you have a coach that's doing things that is outside the, and it's you're like, man, like I guess it's not that.
It's very common. I mean.
Yeah, it happens much more than you think, and you know, a school our size, kind of the rule of thumb is, you know, to make sure that we're doing our job, you know, those mistakes are going to happen. People are going to pocket dial people. We don't get stressed out about that. You know, a university like ours and the Northeast Conference and with 500 student athletes and a smaller campus, like we're expected to have 12 or 15 violations a year. And that's healthy because people make mistakes and that's our job to catch them.
If you don't have any, then all of a sudden it's like, wait.
Exactly. What's going on at Bryant with no violations? So, you know, it's a healthy thing to have some violations, and it shows that we're doing our job and we're on top of our coaches, and our coaches know the rules and they turn themselves in if they do something wrong. But we're also there to, you know, not rat on them, but to find things before they become a festering big issue where we have to, you know, take back and vacate some of our wins, and maybe make sure that somebody is sitting out a game before we make sure, you know, before they play that they're ineligible and we have to vacate a win or you know, give that back and forfeit. So,
in the world of smartphones and touchscreens, the whole butt dialing thing to me is just—I don't get it. I just don't. Like, how most phones have a passcode to input with your finger. Like, butt dialing, and I don't know. It doesn't seem feasible.
Yeah, I used to have before. I had a smartphone. I had a BlackBerry that was a dumb phone. Like I just had the BlackBerry cause I was a texting fiend. So I love the keyboard. But unfortunately for me, when I would put it in my pocket for whatever reason, the P button would always get held down. And I called my friend Preston like 7 times a day because like the P was just on the edge of the keyboard. So when I put it in my pocket, it just always pressed the P and like, I'd leave him elaborate, like, 10-minute voicemails, and he'd always just text me, like, please get a new phone. Please get a new phone. It was only Preston. He would get every single call, and he absolutely hated it. And thankfully, we were far apart for college, so it forced us to be in contact a little more than maybe we had planned. But because he'd always call me back and be like, was that? After a few months, he stopped, but he'd call me back and be like, what's up, buddy? I'd be like, Sorry, I was in class. I accidentally called you. So yeah, butt dial is really something. But
it's a thing.